Okay, so today my guest is former downhill and four cross, which Katie will intro us in a second, four cross champion, super coach, and all-round badass, as I've heard her called, Katie Curd. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me on.
So, Katie, I read this. You're a three-time British four cross champion, former four cross pro tour winner, downhill national series champion, and you have seven other World Cup podiums. This was before you went into coaching. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, I have no idea how many times I was like national champion. Yeah, four cross world champion. Yeah, I'm actually not sure of the titles, but I'll go with what you said. It sounds good.
So, okay, there's a lot of places I want to start, and I will first start with what is four cross, because I'm ashamed to say, as a seasoned cyclist, I had to watch a couple of YouTube videos to understand just what that meant before the show.
Yeah, I think everybody's the same. It's not a well recognized sport, unfortunately. I think when everybody watches it, though, it is one of the most exciting
It
sports
looks
to
really
watch.
cool.
Yeah, I think it's the action is like right there in front of your face and you can always see what's going on. Yeah, so it's cool, but it's a lot of people watch like the Winter Olympic stuff and they know like border cross or ski cross.
Right.
So it's just like that on bikes, but if you've never watched either of those, it's basically like a cross between BMX racing and downhill racing. So you're racing against four people at the same time. So it's a gated start.
Okay.
It's all off-road, so it's over like big jumps, all kind of basically massive jumps on a downhill track with like loads of technical features added in. So you could be bombing through the woods, or you could be sending it over, like 40-foot doubles, but you're also racing those four people. So it's the first two that cross the finish line, go through to the next round
Okay.
until you're left with four people. And then that's like obviously the final. So
Okay. And I've heard you described as the best female four cross rider in the UK. I know you've left professional racing. Do you miss it?
yeah, there's parts of it I miss for sure. Like yeah, I love riding my bike. I love going fast, and I think racing pushes you to your limit. Like you have to be your best, otherwise someone else out there is gonna come and do it for you. So yeah, I love that. I love that's the part that I miss, just like pushing yourself to that absolute limit. But there are loads and loads of things that I don't miss about it. And I think those are the things that people never see. Like yeah, the amount of effort and you've got to put in it. Like you've got to be in it 100%. And if you're not giving up everything, then somebody else will be. So it's yeah, it's not just like everyone just thinks, oh, like you push hard in training and you're going to be the best. It's not you've got to think about your nutrition, your sleep, your training plans, and yeah, your psychology around it and everything. Yeah.
So
So
at the time that you were racing, was that the only focus in your life?
pretty much, sadly, yes. It's although it didn't feel like it at the time, now I've stepped away from it, yes, it was 100%. It's I don't quite didn't quite realize how all consuming it was, but it was things like I couldn't go and do this with friends because I knew that I had to do this training at certain times, or if yeah, I'd eat certain things to make sure that I would be on top of training the next day. Or yeah, it was just little things. So
Little things which all add up as big things,
definitely,
yeah.
yeah. Or
So,
if like people were going out for a massive ride, like you'd want to go along, but
oh, but
actually it would be
not
too
in your
much because
program.
then yeah, you couldn't do the thing you had to do the next day then. So yeah.
So now, I mean, personally, from what you've described about four cross, I couldn't think of anything more terrifying. But before we come to that, just quickly on the training, like how fit And I'm going to voice what other people might be thinking. Like, how fit do you have to be? Because it's downhill, right? And you have to do jumps. So, I mean, like, how fit? To me, it wouldn't seem that you would need to be that fit. But, like, tell me the truth.
Yeah, I think it's a hard one. So I, yeah, kind of split my career over four-cross and downhill as well. So the four-cross actually didn't need to be that fit in terms of what you think you need to be up there for a world champs, because it's a essentially a 45 to 1 minute sprint. So it's not a long track. Okay. So you only had to be, all out sprint fitness basically. Right. But it was, like you had to do certain heats. So obviously if you got through to the next round, you'd have to go straight back up to the top and do that all over again. So the whole race was maybe an hour and a half. So you couldn't just go 40 seconds flat out and then just be absolutely done and need an hour to recover. You had to be on your game for an hour and a half. So yeah, there was a lot of training that went into it, but a lot of it was power focused and sprint focused and that kind of quick reaction off the mark. And whereas the downhill stuff, like going into that, was a whole different ball game to me. I didn't realize actually how fit you needed to be. And I think people just think you just cruise down the hill and go as fast as you can. But actually, you know, if you're absolutely going for it, you're nine times out of 10 more knackered than if you did a hill sprint. You know, sure. It's a whole body movement, and the impact that you go through, you've got to be strong to push back against the bike. So, yeah, you've got to be incredibly fit.
I have watched, I've obviously seen your Instagram profile, and I've watched a couple of videos on YouTube and through Specialized and Red Bull Racing. And I'm just so intrigued. Like, I cannot put my head around that this would actually be fun. And I know you run a coaching school now, and we're going to get to that, but like, is it really fun?
For me, yes, it is. You know, I think somebody asked me the other day, it was like, why do you mountain bike? And it's like, because I find it fun. And that kind of whole word just sums up that why I get on a bike. And I grew up on a hardtail mountain bike doing a lot of dirt jumping.
Yes.
So as soon as I stumbled upon this sport called four-cross, I just fell in love with it. I was like, it's jumping at speed, racing, you know, what's not to love? It was kind of, high adrenaline, and it was just everything I loved. And everybody is so friendly, so that made it even easier to get into.
Amazing.
But it is a little bit scary, because there's obviously three other people around you which you can't control. So that's kind of the scary part, that you never know what's going to, you never know what anyone else's game plan is. You can obviously only can control what you're trying to achieve. Other than that, I absolutely love it. It's real good fun.
And how tough was the women's competition?
So when I first started out in the UK, there was one girl, Charlie Phillips, she's like the sister of Liam Phillips, who used to be our Olympic BMXer in the UK. She was really good, and it was kind of her, I guess, that pushed me on. So first race I came up against her, I ended up second, and I was like, wow, that was my motivation to try and beat her. And then went to my first World Cup, and the level just steps up straight again. It's like, whoa, okay, this is, you know, I looked up to Jill Kinter and everybody out there. It was amazing to see what was being achieved, and that's the thing that pushes me on. It's seeing other girls like that and just I guess wanting to get to the top and seeing what's achievable as well. So there was a high level of competition out there, and I think it's a shame that it all fizzled out.
Do you mean through COVID?
No, so four-cross took a little bit of a step back. So UCI, who are the governing body of the, obviously, like the races, like the downhill and cross country and stuff, actually pulled four-cross out of the UCI World Cup. So
why?
I think there was multiple things going on. I think the as far as I know, like the Olympics wanted another sport to add into. This was like a few years back, but the UCI didn't want to take four cross into the Olympics. They wanted to put cross country in, but the Olympic committee were more interested in four cross. So then they, yeah, so what I believe they kind of took us out. And you know, there's a lot of money that's involved in all of this as well. So it takes a hell of a lot of money to not only have a downhill track, but to then build a four cross track at the same venue. Like a lot of, a lot of venues didn't have a four cross track, and it's not the thing that brings in, you know, like revenue and stuff. Like the downhill tracks are the thing that get the income for these venues. So yeah, I think money's got a lot to do with it. And yeah, there were so many things. But as soon as the UCI pulled the sport four cross out of the World Cups, a lot of the sponsors left, which then meant a lot of the funding for riders left. And people just had to find other ways to make a living. So some of the top riders actually moved away to either Enduro or downhill and stuff. So yeah, it's still going on, but it's not governed under UCI. It's now four cross pro tour. So it was a shame.
Yeah, that is a shame. I think cycling as a sport has gained in the past, I don't know, I'd hate to say since the Lance Armstrong saga, but like since then, and kind of even downhill in terms of regular viewers, people who just watch sport and don't partake, and as a result the sport has grown, but the subcategories within the sport, I can understand the struggle, and that's really hard for athletes.
Yeah, I think it is definitely. It's I did an interview the other day about the Olymp. Well, when the Olympics were on, and the guys on the radio turned around and said, "Mountain biking is a bit of a funny one, isn't it? Like most of us have wouldn't even know it's a sport, and until we watched it on the Olympics." And I was like, "What? No way!
Really? You know, like, no way!"
Yeah. I was like, in my life, it is, seriously? You know, it is massive, you
it's
know,
huge.
Like, so just, it opened my eyes a little bit. I was like, well, maybe people don't know about mountain biking. Maybe people just think, you know, you get on a bike and maybe ride the canal path and that's mountain biking or something. But it was a bit weird. But yeah, the sport has grown like massively, especially in the last couple of years since COVID. Like we've seen a huge increase in people on bikes, and it's great.
Yeah. I guess, I mean, that's one of the reasons I started the podcast. Like, I really think a bicycle will change your life in a unique and particular way. And my wish is that everyone gets one in some shape, form, or size, whatever it is. So now let's talk coaching. Like, what was the shift from pro riding into coaching?
So I've always coached. So pretty much I started coaching back in like 2010. So I kind of did it alongside riding, but I only did it because when I used to live at my parents' house in Bath, I was quite involved in setting up and like re-renovating the BMX track in Bath. And then when that was all built and done, the local council said, because I was involved with it and because of my racing background, would I be up for coaching a couple of school children? So the schools basically bought all of the kids to the BMX track. Some people had bikes, some people didn't. At the end of the session, like I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't have any qualifications at this time and I was just kind of winging it. But actually, like the end of the day, those kids went away absolutely buzzing. They were like,
God,
I didn't even know this place was here. It's like 2 minutes from my house. And they went like away and, oh, mum, can we come back here? And can we buy myself a bike? And from that, I was just like, I was absolutely buzzing. I was like, I think I was more buzzing than they were. So it was that got me into it. That kind of made me think, do you know what? Like, I'd love to do more of this. And whether it was kid stuff or adult stuff. And I just then started helping a couple of riders that were at the races, and they were still are good friends of mine, and I could just see their potential, and I was like, why don't you just try this or try this, you know. And you could see it make a difference, and you could see their confidence building, and then their results would go up. And yeah, I just kind of fell in love with it. So now
I'm amazing.
Yeah, I kind of stepped away from racing, and yeah, I mean, I've, as I say, been doing it kind of part time alongside the racing for a long time. So it was just a kind of natural. Fell into it.
Mm.
Yeah.
And so now I know Tracy Mosley is a friend of yours, and yep. I had her on the show a few weeks ago.
Yep.
She spoke about practicing confidence. I have to say, I'm not convinced, but just because I find safety in tar, so, which sounds kind of crazy, I know, but like, tell me your philosophy on that. And I've seen on your website, you've said, learn, progress, play.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So talk me around that, like convince me.
Yeah, so for me, learn, progress, play, like that is our motto basically. So I want people to come along and obviously learn how to ride a bike. I want them to learn to do whatever they want to do, feel like they're kind of obviously progressing rather than just kind of sitting and knowing what they need to do but actually can't put it into play. I guess that's our job, trying to explain things in a good way that they actually progress, and then go and learn to play. Like, we all ride bikes because it's fun, so we don't want it to be like you've got to do this and this is the drill you've got to do. Like, go away and just play. And like the best kids and the ones that are do well in life are actually the ones that go and pull the biggest skids or the wheelies or just go and have a little bit of fun. So the whole thing about confidence is you've got to build it in stages. So it's great for me as a coach. Like, I've seen my partner, when she first started riding, there was stuff that she looked at and goes, I've got no interest in ever doing that. You know, like she was comfortable in riding what she was comfortable riding with. And then she'd look at stuff and go, I don't even want to. It's not even there. And now, 3-4 years later, she's riding down it without even thinking about it. And then looking at other things and going, I don't even want to do that. So that confidence has just crept up year by year by year. Wow. And sometimes you might get a massive leaping in confidence. So I had actually two people with me today. I was out this morning coaching, and they wanted to learn to jump, and she first came into it, and she didn't even want to get her wheels off. Well, she did want to get her wheels off the floor, but the confidence wasn't there. So we had to give her the right techniques and make her feel safe. Once you feel safe, then you can actually start. That's where the confidence builds. And then like she went from literally wheels stuck to the floor to be able to do in tabletops by within 3 hours. So that progression then was huge.
Wow.
And she'll take that away, and that will keep progressing and progressing and progressing. And that confidence will just keep on going up. So yes, your confidence will not build unless you feel safe. So it's,
That's so true, actually. And that is like I am lacking words, but that is the mind, like, blowing moment of mountain biking is
definitely
the safer you feel, the better it's gonna go.
100%. Like, people always ask, like, how do you go so fast? And it's like, well, you have to feel good, you have to know what you're doing. You have to, you can't just be like, right, I'm gonna let the brakes go here and hope hold on and hope it's,
see how that goes.
You have to get all those little steps in place, and
and that's it.
Your confidence builds when you are safe.
Yeah. I've said on the show many times, I am a roadie, and my best mate is a mountain biker. And it's basically her fault that I have a mountain bike. And I moved to Spain. I think you used to live here, right? Did you used to live here? Were you visited?
No, I used to come over and do a couple of coaching courses over there.
Okay, that's a year. That's what I saw. And when I arrived here, I was like, I'm just gonna sell this stupid mountain bike, like, I don't need this. And I literally live in mountain biking paradise. And then a few weeks ago, I'm like, my road bike was broken, and I just thought, just need to get out. And I had one of the best rides, honestly, of my life. Like, I just was like, what if you just let go and just stop stressing? You're on your own. Anyway, if you bail, you're only going to hit like the soft forest ground. So what's the deal? And I just enjoyed it so much. And I was like, wow, I can never sell this bike ever.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
It is cool. It's I think that's the best part of, well, our sport and anyone's sport, really. It's you'll have those moments that will go, yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
It'll make you want to go and do it again. And for me, it's like you can always progress. Like, you can always do more. So you might have good days and bad days, but even the guys at the top, you know, like they can always do more. They can always progress. And I think, yeah, that's one of the biggest things that always makes me want to get back out again and again.
Do you have a favorite memory of a ride?
Oh, wow. Don't be sorry at all. I've got plenty, really. I mean, I don't think I've got a one particular one. I mean, there's been loads of races that it's obviously stick in my mind. Amazing. I think some of the best moments I've ever had were kind of when I was growing up, and it was literally just me and my friends. I used to do a lot of dirt jumping. And that was some of the kind of the best days I've ever had on my bike. It was just kind of you pedal to the trails, you spend the entire day there just literally riding the same probably 10 jumps in a row. And you just do it all over and over and over again. And some of them you make it and some of them you don't, and you're like, it was cool. And I remember some days just riding to the trails, and we kind of rode maybe two laps of these 10 jumps, and then it just absolutely belted down and like the heaviest rainstorm I've ever been in. And I was literally in shorts and a t-shirt, and I was just laughing. I just stood in the rain and just laughed and laughed just because I was having so much fun. Whereas most people would have probably got annoyed and but I was just like, well, what's not to like? I'm out on my bike. The weather's changed, and just embrace it. But yeah, there's loads of moments. I think there's not one standout one, but loads of good memories.
And this is possibly also a hard question. I must say, I felt this a little bit lately, although I am fortunate to have my mountain bike. I've lost the love a little bit for my road bike of late. Have you ever gone through a phase where you're like, I'm actually done with the sport?
Oh yeah, massively. Yeah.
Like every week.
Oh, plenty of times. I've always said to my dad, like, the second I don't like something or I get bored of it, I'll just hang it up and walk away. And there was I had a pretty serious injury a few years back when I was racing, and I've never ever done it before, but I just said I don't even want to touch a bike again. Like, normally when I crash, I'm like, oh, I'm gutted because I'm not gonna be able to ride. But that time I was like, oh, you're just done with it. Like, it's too many injuries, one after the other. It's gonna take me out for a while. And then 3 months after that, I was just like, get me back on my bike, I'm there. So bored. But yeah, I think I've since walking away from racing, I had a big struggle. Like, it was racing was my life, and I just spent kind of years and years training, and it was like, I didn't really think about it, but if I like the riding was part of training, so it'd just be like, I'd have to get out on that ride. And then I had a choice whether I went out or not, and it was like, I don't even want to. But yeah, it was just, I just had that kind of thing of like, well, if you don't want to, don't do it. So, and then I kind of just stood back a little bit and didn't ride as much as I used to, and now literally I'm wanting to get out on the bike every moment I can, because just falling in love with it. But I think one of the biggest things for me is going out with friends and enjoying it. Like, I used to ride a lot on my own just for training aspects and stuff, and I still do like doing that, like kind of pushing myself here and there on my own, but a lot of it's like the social side of it that makes it incredibly fun. And
it does. And now tell me about, I mean, do you have a range of people coming to you for coaching? Like, from what it, I mean, from your statement, learn, progress, play, you're not a super, you're not a drill sergeant coach.
No.
So Like, what kind of clients come to you for coaching?
So we literally do have absolutely everybody. So I had a lady with me yesterday who just literally picked up a bike in lockdown, and yeah, that was pretty much her first bike, and she was learning how to ride, and her kind of motivation was because her kids like riding, so now she wants to get out of them and keep up with them. So that was pretty cool. And then we've got it to the other end of the scale where coach Evie Richards, who is the cross country world champion right now. So we started working with her the end of last the end of last season, coming into this season just gone, and her confidence has just gone through the roof. Her skills have gone through the roof, which then her confidence gone through the roof, and her results have shown it. So and we coach everybody in between as well, which is really exciting for me because it's every day is
Varied,
different.
yeah.
Everyone wants to achieve something different. I think because I am a female, we do get a lot of female riders as well.
Yes.
We still get a lot of males as well, but I think it's our like women only stuff sells out real quick. But yeah, we do get everybody, which is cool.
I think women cycling as a whole, I saw a comment a while ago on Twitter, and it was like, women's cycling is so far from where it needs to be. And I was like, I don't know that that's true. I think we're on the edge. I think we're like almost there. I don't know if it's because of my focus, but I see a lot more women entering the sport.
Yeah, I think it's changed massively over the last few years. I think I've seen a massive change here. So I live in the Forest of Dean in England, and the guy that owns the cycle centre here, his big focus was to have more women riding at the centre. I was like, wow, that's a big thing to achieve. But actually, over the last 10 years, I mean, if you turn up on a Saturday, any single Saturday outside our cycle centre, you will almost see more women there than guys. And I mean, it's a busy centre. There is a regular women's group that goes out every Saturday at 10 o'clock without fail, same on a Tuesday, 10 o'clock. And it's just, it's grown the women's community down there like masses and masses. And yeah, I think like things like Facebook, there's so many like women's groups that, like organize rides and stuff. So it doesn't matter where you are in the country, you could probably connect with a woman on a mountain bike. But yeah, I think it has grown, and I think that's a lot to do with the racing and a lot more coverage being shown and like women in magazines. Yeah, I think it is down to the media. Like the more we see of the sport, then more people will recognize it and yeah,
Why do
be
you
kind of
think
inspired.
anyone should ride a bicycle?
I think it comes back to what I was saying earlier. It's just
Fun.
fun. It's an escape as well. Like so many people are stuck to their phones or laptops or anything these days to just even get out on a crappy town bike and ride around just for 20 minutes, half an hour. To me, that literally just brings me back down to ground. It's yeah, it takes away all of that kind of stress and stuff that you don't even realize you've built up by staring at a screen. You'll probably be able to go places you wouldn't be able to go on foot as well. So it can take you that much further. Like if you went for a walk, you'd only ever get so far. Whereas you're on a
That's
bike, you
true.
can travel so much further and see amazing things. Like it's allows you to go on little adventures rather than
I
being
must
stuck.
say that I took a trip with my mountain bike a couple of years ago, and I rode through Vietnam and Laos.
Wow.
And it was amazing. Like, just to see things you would never see, to experience the culture in a way you would never ordinarily experience it. Oh, it just, and it's so true. Every time I'm having a shit day, then I'm like, well, that's a lot when you're so, as you say, tied to your phone, and you build up all the stress, and then you go and ride, and then you come back and you're like, life is amazing.
That's it. Yeah, I think that's what it is. And yeah, like you say, it's I had a lady, a coach the other day, and I was inspired by her. She was only young. I can't remember her name now, sadly. But yeah, I think she was almost like 21 or something. She said she cycled the world. And I was like, wow. So she literally cycled around the world on her bike. She, I think she was trying to go for like the Guinness World Record to get around in the fastest time. But the stories that she had was amazing. Yeah. And that kind of stuff inspires me. She's like, yeah, I've been chased by a bear and, you know, my fingers nearly dropped off because I was so cold. And just
that's like
wow.
Really living.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And it's, it's cool that you can do all of this on a bike. That's something so simple as well. So, yeah.
It is. So now, I hate myself for asking this question, but like, are you living the dream? Are you like, what are you building to, if anything? Are you just having fun? Because that, I think, is like the ultimate expression of life.
I feel like I am living the dream. I feel like I've been living the dream for the last 20 years. I think I'm very not lucky. I think I put a lot of hard work into what I've achieved. I've had an amazing time racing the bike over the last God knows how many years. And now I feel like I'm still living the dream. I'm getting to ride my bike every day. I'm getting to see, you know, people progress. And I don't have to sit in an office or do something that I don't enjoy. It's really weird. Like I always say, I'm coaching on this day. I'm coaching. I don't say I've got to go to work or it's work. It doesn't feel like work to me. I just love what I do. So yeah, that in turn just then makes me feel like I am living the dream. And I guess I would love to start doing a little bit more with more races and stuff. And that's kind of where I'm trying to push it. Like I think just because of my racing background, I've got a lot of passion into seeing people achieve what they want to.
And a lot to offer.
Yeah, I think so. I've got years of experience behind me, and I can through the coaching and the racing, and I can, yes, I'm, well, I don't know. I'm coaching some athletes that are definitely probably faster than me on descents, but I can also see what the mistakes they're making, and that's what helps them. So I'd like to start maybe just doing a little bit more of that. And started this year as well helping some younger riders, so I'd like to do a little bit more of that, like grassroots racing, and really give them a helping hand as they step up through the ranks over the next couple of years. So yeah, we've got a lot of plans in place. It's it just had to get the Katie Curd coaching business to where it needs to be, which is now. So I've luckily got a couple of coaches on board with me, which means I can just step back a little bit and start helping some of the younger people and some of the athletes and the riders that are wanting to work with us.
So what does daily life look like for you, if there is do you still get to ride? Do you get to do some of the stuff you didn't get to do when you were racing?
Yeah, I think that's it at the moment. I think when I stepped away from racing, I actually realized that there was life away from riding as well, which I didn't really think I'd enjoy it. So I guess daily life for me right now is I'm a fairly early rider, so get out of bed pretty early, and I'll have
six-ish,
something like that. I normally either then go to the gym or go for a ride myself, or go out running with the dogs. It can change very on a day-to-day basis. And then normally start coaching at 10 o'clock. So we do either a full day or a half day coaching, depending on what we've got booked in. And then normally have the afternoon to either go ride my bike or do admin if it needs to be done. But I normally coach 5 days a week, and I normally coach half days, to be honest. So normally have the afternoons to either go ride or do something for myself.
Amazing.
And then have like my weekends, a Monday and Tuesday. So normally do something with my partner then, and we both love riding. So we'll either go out riding together, go to the beach, or just yeah, do something outdoors, go for a big walk or something. We're very outdoorsy kind of active people.
Yes.
Partner's a paddleboard instructor as well. So during the summer, maybe get on the paddleboards on the sea or on the river and stuff. So yeah, just enjoying what we can.
Yeah, I see in all your Instagram pictures, you are literally have a smile from like one side of the camera to the other.
Yeah, I'm I feel very lucky to be living the life that I do. It's just, but then it's we've made choices and we've made sacrifices to get there. So
absolutely.
Yeah, we've definitely built a life for ourselves that is enjoyable and is as little stress as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. It is about choices. I have one very serious question, which is serious for me because it is threatening the future of my cycling career, is the aspect of cold. This is my first winter in Europe.
Yeah.
This is cold on another level. This is, I went out last weekend and I was like, okay, I need to find a different sport. But I saw in some of your videos when you went out, and like you said that just now, it was raining or...
Yeah.
So weather doesn't seem to play a big part in your life. How is that so?
Well, you've asked the right question, because honestly, I hate being cold. Like if I get cold, I am the most miserable person ever. So I think you asked Tracy about this. The first time I ever went out riding with her, she invited me along. I didn't really know what a mountain bike was back then. And she invited me along and got me a mountain bike, and it came on to like a massive women's ride with all the people that she'd grew up with or raced with and stuff, and it was like a weekend away. I turned up out on the ride with a pair of shorts on and three t-shirts. I literally had like no food on me whatsoever. It was hammering down with rain, and she looked over and yeah, I basically looked like I had completely crashed out of energy and freezing cold, and I was like, no, I'm all right. Got back and yeah, was literally like so dehydrated. The cramp was so bad. I was freezing cold. They didn't know what to do with me. And I think that was just a massive learning point. And she'll never let me forget that. But
yeah,
it's every time I go out now, I'm wrapped up in layers. Normally go out coaching because I generally stand around not doing much. So I'm kind of wrapped up in 7 or 8 layers. Just making sure I keep warm and stuff. But as soon as I start riding for myself, like you warm up so quickly. It's just about having the right layers with you. So if you do, like sweat when you're up a climb and then you stop, you've got something to put back on you, or you can strip off your sweaty layer and put something back on again. I think it's just being sensible with what you've got. If you've literally just got like a t-shirt and a jumper, yes, you are going to be warm, but then you've only got your jumper to strip off and you could be then freezing cold. So there's an amazing load of clothing out there nowadays that you can put your base layers on and you just keep on adding on thin layers.
It's funny, I was watching, I don't know where I saw this the other day, there was this meme and it was like a person deciding, I don't know, there was some sale at Zara and it was like, no, too expensive. And then it was, I mean, the top at Zara was like €50, and then it's like cycling jacket €250, and it was like on sale €200, sold, what a bargain.
There's so much expensive stuff out there, but I've actually learned over the years, better off spending the money because it will last, and two, it is blooming good quality. Makes a world of difference.
So now, to end off, tell me, favorite pre-race or pre-ride meal, and favorite during ride snack, and favorite post-ride meal.
Wow. I don't even know how to answer that. I'm gluten intolerant, so we don't kind of do any bread or anything like that, which is kind of hard for snacks and stuff. Pre-ride, it's normally just we normally kind of have, I'm trying to think now, yeah it might be like fish, broccoli, potato, something like that. It's actually like a full meal, you know.
Right.
So we've got a bit of everything in there. You've got like your carbs, protein, and everything, fats to keep yourself going. When I'm actually out on the trail, it's normally something like, my friends will laugh at me for saying this, but like cheese and fruit. Mm. So it keeps you going.
It does. Mine is cheese and chorizo.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, that's quite often in our little bag for sure. Always take a banana or something to as a little bit of carbs. Post ride is again kind of a full meal normally. Not one for little meals, little snacks here and there. We do eat a lot of cheese in our house. It's well known with our friends as a joke. Like we'll normally have like 14 to 15 types of cheese in our house.
Awesome.
I can't answer that as in specific stuff, unfortunately.
No, that's awesome. So now, okay, so I am going to have to get myself to England on a half day course with you to learn some skills.
Is that definitely the deal? Do it. Cool. Yeah, as you come over and we'll get you a little bit more excited about your mountain biking.
Yes. I look forward to it. And cool. Until then, I'm actually really enjoying it, which has been amazing.
Cool. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. And thank you for giving back to the sport. So inspiring to speak to women.
Cool. It's definitely, a lot what I want to do for sure. And it's hopefully helps the sport grow.
Just before we leave, just tell me your web address and I will put it in the links too. It is katiecurdcoaching.co.uk.
.com actually, I think.
Okay.
It might come up with both, but yeah, I think it's katiecurdcoaching.com. Yeah.
Okay. Katie Curd, I will see you on the trail.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Cheers.